Okay, sorry.
Okay. At 7 p.m., we're going to officially call our community meeting to order. And we can start over here on my left-hand side, and we can go around with introductions. You can, I guess we can do the introductions now, and then you can open up with whatever is on your mind you want to discuss.
Okay, my name is Dave Skolnick. I live over on Kilmore Street. There's a lot of activity there today.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name.
David Skolnick. And I've been here about a year, a little more. I was very involved in my neighborhood council back in Los Angeles, where I lived for 5 years. And it's my New Year's resolution to get more involved.
Any connection to Murray Skolnick of Radar fame?
A what fan?
Radar. I guess not.
No.
Okay.
Is that a MASH reference?
It's a book. No. He wrote a textbook on radar, which is sort of the Bible of the industry. Oh. And his son works in the D.C. government.
No.
So, you know what's called that here? The generation.
Okay. This handsome gentleman here.
We have a chair.
My name is Peter Malachev. I've been living in Mount Pleasant for over 6 years, and I just bought a place at the corner of Mount Pleasant and Monroe Street.
Okay.
I didn't catch your first name. I'm sorry.
Victor.
Victor. All right, excuse me. Victor.
My name is Brent McBride. I've also been living in Mount Pleasant for 6 years. We live together. So I'm glad to be here.
Okay. I'm Jose Sopina, living on Montez Street for 21 years. I'm here in 2021, the top four. Yes, I'm here today. The devil knows how many of you.
My name is Jessica. I live at 1631 Irving, and I've been living in Mount Pleasant for about 6 months now. And I'm just really interested in local government and the agencies. So it's been really fun to observe the agencies in the neighborhood.
Jack McKay, ANC.
I'm going to get a lot of on Irving Street and on Irving over 25 years. It's good coming in.
Dave Bosserman, ANC, and most of Irving Street. I'm not sure which side you live on.
Me?
Yes.
Oh, 1631, I'm on the...
Right. Okay. That is Stormy's.
That's where he is on. That's the northern side.
Yes. And on 1600 Block, that's...
Greg Edwards, ANC, and my district includes this block on the side and goes up to all the way to Monroe Street and 16th Street. And so to most of the greatest degree, Stormy and I share the commercial corridor in our two districts.
And I'm Angelia Scott. I'm the chair of this particular ANC. Do we have some people that came in later that want to introduce yourself?
Happy holidays, happy new year. My name is Juan Carlos Ruiz from the Latino Association of Mesa.
Hi.
I'm Jose Martinez, 32 years in the area.
I'm Laura Marshall. I have lived in Mount Pleasant about 6 months, so I'm trying to address my sisters. How I got out of office, and I just wanted to...
Yeah, speak a little louder for those of us who are old and deaf.
Oh, I'm sorry. A friend of Jessica, she's told me about this meeting, so I thought I'd check it out. I've been here about 6 months.
Where do you live?
Lamont, Mount Pleasant.
Which side?
It's the building next to the shoe repair.
Okay. Oh, yes.
Hello, my name is Lorena. I'm part of the Latino Association of Civil Interpretation.
Okay. Was that everybody? Oh. Well, we welcome you here, and we can start wherever you want to go around if everybody wants to say what they want to speak on or talk about. Or if something comes up and you want to come back and speak on it, it's fine. This is very informal, but I want to give everybody a chance to, you know, talk.
Let me just, a word of explanation. We have two meetings for many people. We have two meetings every month. The meeting on the third Tuesday is a business meeting, which is very formal. Our meeting on the first Tuesday, this one, is specifically for a dialogue between residents and the ANC. So this is your opportunity to speak, and we listen.
Or speak to.
Okay, here we go. Judy, you haven't said anything. Let me say that we usually go around clockwise and ask people to focus their remarks to 3 minutes so that we can have multiple rounds.
Sounds formal.
Do you
want to
start?
Yes, so I'll this up.
Yeah.
You have something to say?
Nothing really, just one observation to the interpretation.
Okay. I understand the selections for the chair of the ANC in the next meeting. So I think it would be ideal to know how is the process and how you guys select the chair and what do you put in consideration to elect the chair and to elect the officers of the ANC, right?
I'm glad you added the other officers in there. Because it's not just for the chair.
Yeah, it does.
Well, if I could answer that, it's very simple. The members of the Advisory Neighborhood Commission nominate people, and then we vote.
Any rules about how many votes you need to have? Or
no.
Is it a slate, or needs to be a majority?
No. Well, we don't have any rules or regulations about that.
Are the nominations on the same night as the election?
They have been.
Mm-hmm. It's really a matter of choosing the officers for the year. The ANC chooses its officers at the first meeting in January. That's what we're required to do. And the nominations come from the commissioners, not from the public. The commissioners then decide who they want to have to be chair, vice chair, secretary, and treasurer for the coming year. It's all pretty straightforward.
So you can imagine the job, the hard job, is getting people to want to do those jobs.
There's another piece that is, by law, we're required to finish the process by the end of January.
And how are the regional officers as well?
No, this is just for this Mount Pleasant ANC.
I see.
That's the extent.
And do you guys have a chance to explain, by being the chair, what is your mission or your vision for what to accomplish during that year or what you want to accomplish now?
If I could. The position of the chair is quite simply to preside over the meetings. That's all. The chair of the ANC is not the boss of the ANC. The chair of the ANC is not the leader of the community. And the chair of the ANC would have no business setting an agenda for the ANC or of objectives or anything. The job of the chair is to preside over our meetings and to represent the ANC at outside organizations. That's
not like a boss commissioner. In fact, the chair is really the servant of the commission, not the boss of the commission.
That's one perspective.
That is the correct perspective. I understand that a lot of people see it differently because they are thinking more of a chairman of a board of a corporation. That's a totally different thing. That's not what's going on here. And it's very important that the chair be recognized to be not, I mean, for example, if you go to the city council, do you expect Vincent Gray to lead city council? He's not the leader in city council. Now, Jim Graham is not going to take his orders from Vincent Gray. It's really a position that has authority in the meeting to preside over the meeting because somebody has to be in charge of the meeting. That really all it is.
That's okay. I respectfully disagree with that. Because in politics, when you have a position, especially a position that the chairmanship position, there's a lot of power that you're hearing just by facilitating the process. And it's okay, we can disagree about it, right? It's a different perspective of how we see and understand politics.
This is the way a parliamentary body is supposed to work, and the chair is not supposed to be a powerful position. And the chair does not have any power over us. That's simply not true.
It's okay, Jeff, I understand.
And also, there's no law that says that the chair has to be everywhere at all times.
Yes.
Other members, other commissioners can be delegated or designated, or sometimes they even request to be the one to go and represent. And I don't know, I'm going to not say that I'm getting a little sensitive here, but it seems to be a lot of inquiry all of a sudden, Juan Carlos, about the position of the chair. Isn't it that you have some questions of what the chair, this particular chairperson, did or didn't do?
Thank you for clarifying. I'm actually very glad with your work that you've been doing.
Oh.
I'm very satisfied.
Okay.
But I also think that we need to be educated about what the roles of the ANC leadership is, and how this works, and how we are going to move our community forward. At the end of the day, it's how we're going to move our community forward, right? And understanding the roles that each one plays. And again, I was very pleased with the work that you've been doing as a chair. There's no questions about that.
Okay. Because I know I don't attend a lot of the downtown meetings because Commissioner McKay and Commissioner Edwards does that very well. And if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. No. When you facilitate it, you've been very good.
Okay.
I'm very good.
I would report that many of the people that the commissioners deal with in trying to represent ANC business come from hierarchical organizations. And so they will call the chair and expect the chair to be able to pass along information on a top-down basis as they would call a branch chief in the executive branch. Or they expect the chair to be able to corral the other commissioners, and they want to negotiate with the chair and say, well, if we do this, what will you get your commission to do? Expecting a hierarchical structure because it serves their convenience. They want to do things on a traditional politics basis rather than on a basis as specified by law, where they give the commission, and through the commission, the neighborhood, advance notice of things. They want to do things secretively, privately, on the basis of explicit secretive exchanges and the like, and they like that kind of system. So the refusal of this ANC to play games with that, I think, opposed better sense of democracy. But it also puts us outside of the D.C. business as usual, which I don't think is a great loss, because D.C. business as usual, it doesn't get very much done. And what it does get done is usually better off not having been done.
If I could go back to the city council model, if you want to get city council to do something, you don't go to Vincent Gray.
and expect that everything to float down from Vincent Gray to the rest of the council. You go to your council member. You go to Jim Gray. And the same thing is true here. If you need something done by this ANC, your starting point is your commissioner for your area. And you are free to talk to all of the commissioners. There's just no point in imagining that one person is in charge, and you can speak to that person in charge, and that person will then issue orders to all the rest as if they are followers. That's not the appropriate model.
I don't think we're looking at and understanding the orders, so, and I'm not even considering that the chair is the person who is going to tell everybody what to do, right? But, for example, one of the things I like about your approach is you're very lenient, very flexible to things, and then you wrap it up and lean us in a very nice process, all right, and get a conclusion, and that's a requires a skill, right? And but this is it's also is for me it's good to know that it will be good to know, you know, being an officer of the ANC, what would you like to accomplish? Because as you said, David, it takes a lot of work. I'm assuming you coordinate the agendas, people calling you, writing resolutions, doing research and stuff. It's a lot of work. But this is still is where I am coming from is, I'm sure what everybody's here too, is we are concerned about what's going on with the businesses. Businesses closing down, front stores getting empty here, and the needs for more jobs and all the stuff. And we want to ensure that, we deal with that, at least at this level, how we can use this body to strengthen the support for small businesses so they can attract more clients. Businesses are struggling, and I don't need to tell you this, you know this. And they're struggling, they don't have clients. So how can we use this strength here to get that, to build the business so they can have more clients, all right? So that's where I'm coming. This is not about whether who's the boss or not. It's where are we going with this ANC and you guys elected officials?
Yeah, it sounds like what you're talking about is priorities of the ANC or an agenda of the ANC. And we try to do that every year. We have various successes every year about what we should be doing through the year. And obviously, Mount Pleasant Street would always be high on that list. But we haven't talked about that this year yet.
And I want to just add, which is, I want to thank you for all the work you guys have been doing. To tell you the truth, I've been doing more and more research and doing all. I saw you in the streets in the corner, timing the stop signs, walking the streets. You know, I see you coming to the events, see you writing a lot of proposals, see you facilitating process. Each one has their own skills, all right? And I really thank you. We might disagree in some stuff, but it is, in my sense, I really appreciate. And the Latino Association, the last meeting, we discussed that. It's, you guys did a lot of work, and thank you. So just to be clear.
Before he goes, I know you're waiting. My mind's very short. I suggest that to build a better understanding for outside these meetings discussions, that we make sure that everyone that comes and knows who is their commissioner and to be able to contact them. So as we go around the room, I think we should not just find out where people live, but also find who's their commissioner. Who do you go to?
It's a game.
Because it's many people don't know.
Yeah. Why would they?
Okay. Jeremy?
Well, a couple more questions about how it works, which I was reluctant to ask initially because I figured I'd be the only new person. I got this sense from you, first of all, that there was no geographical subdivision within the Mount Pleasant.
Oh, that's not true. I'm sorry. Okay. It's divided into six single-member districts. Each of us has our own single-member district. So you have...
That's right.
There's one commissioner really yours.
And the second question is, and I think this would clarify some of the things that you were asking about, how our agendas put together in this body. And
On what are the legal requirements. And the legal requirements are that the ANC cannot do anything by email or by phone. It has to be face-to-face and in person, except to the degree that you have administrative decisions on the order of deciding a letterhead or something like that that can be delegated to a task force. But anything that's going to be serious has to be done in public at a noticed meeting so that people can come and see the thing. So the way that we do it, which has evolved after this, is called, we call it an open agenda system. If you have an idea or something comes up, even as it happens an hour before the meeting, you call your commissioner or somebody else that is the best point, but somebody else that you can talk with. And you present it, the idea to them. And if it's an emergency or something is at stake, well then, there is in fact a chance that it could be taken care of. Because unlike other NCs, we don't put, say, a 2-week advance notice piece on it. At this meeting here, we can bring up ideas. The purpose of having this early meeting is to see what ideas are in the air and so that people can ask about them and talk about them so that they are that there's a chance to have public discussion on them early. At the meeting then, what happens is, well, first of all, the ANC says that anything that is not in 9 days in advance has a strike against it. So that some specific argument has to be made for introducing it. It can't just be because people or other people like it. So the best way for this to run is for people to come to these meetings with ideas about things that ought to be happening, things that ought to be done, and introduce them for discussion here, and follow up with research. One last thing. The law says, including case law from the appeals courts, is that the great way, according to the ANC, can only be for evidence-based arguments. It is our opinion is worthless. Agencies can ignore our opinion. This is not like a legislature where we can pass laws. All we can do is put together arguments on issues that we have some expertise, which is the nature of the neighborhood. And if they are evidence-based and solid arguments, then they will likely prevail. Very few ANCs, not even this one, does the research have evidence-based arguments so that they will be effective with the agencies, because we are an advisor to other agents, to the agencies.
Okay.
So you guys should tell us what your agenda is.
I'm just wondering, why do you ask the question?
About how was that our agenda? Is what brought this on? Oh, but just the back and forth, it seemed like that's what it was leading to, I think. But also because, of, you know, I'm
here with I think he's a plant.
So, just to be fair to hear the other side, and what I am hearing in the community is from the non-profit groups or the voluntary groups there in the area, that they are very disappointed that we don't have agenda set up ahead of time, because then we do not know what we need to organize. You know, you guys are elected officials. Let's be honest about this. And we're going to ask you to vote in one way or other based on what your community wants, plus your decision and your values and your principles, all right? So that's our job, if we want to push an issue, to make sure we organize enough people in your area, in our community, so we can push the issue forward, all right? And along with the group that gets your values and your principles with the issue that we work together. So there is a strong sentiment in the community and a strong disappointment that we don't have agenda set up ahead of time. Having said that, you know, today I was talking to one of the commissioners, and we have in the Latino community, we have a very, very pressing issue. The chief of police is signing an agreement with the Department of Homeland Security, under which every time they make an arrest of an immigrant, when they do the booking, they're going to share those fingerprints with the national security and immigration and the federal and FBI, and with the pretext of looking for hardcore criminals. We are undocumented immigrants. We don't want hardcore criminals in our community. But we don't want to be also being used every time you have a broken tail to be arrested. You want fingerprints and you kick out of this country when you came here looking for a chance, an opportunity to live, to be alive. So we are having the present, and I cannot, I'm respectful of an agreement that we have had here. We're not asking for a resolution from an ANC, right? But I'm talking to commissioners to present a resolution for the next meeting. But and perhaps some in the community might not want that here, might support what we are fighting. And people have the right to know that, and right if this commission is going to fight and favor or against that. So that is why it's critical for us to have agendas ahead of time. I understand the complexity of the problem, and I understand that, but it's important to set up some frameworks that can help us move forward.
But let me say, the framework is, if you have an issue, you bring it to your commissioner, or any commissioner, really, and that commissioner puts it on the list, and the list is posted and accessible on the internet. So there's nothing to prevent you from getting a resolution initiated at the ANC. and listed well ahead of time.
Yes, I mean that we believe there should be agendas, and once again, all the groups working in this community want an agenda ahead of time. I mean, you don't believe me, we will send you a letter asking for that. You know, we need to have agendas. But that is the issue. This is, and you guys can choose to organize the wishes of the community or lead us in a different direction.
Legally, the way that we can do that is to have another meeting that is open to the public, whose agenda is to set an agenda.
Could this be a meeting?
What?
Yeah, I was just thinking, and I don't know, well, I'm not assuming you that I know what your process is, but it seems to me with two meetings, that this particular meeting that is a community meeting, that some, they will not determine the agenda, but that certain things here surface for the agenda on the next meeting. I mean, because it is a public meeting, it is in discussion, so it would make sense that this, and it builds up, you know, what the community is interested in.
Yeah. That's the idea of it. That's the reason we started doing it years ago. And frankly, I think that it would be better if the people who came would ask us what are the things that are going on and what is the progress of them and have a discussion here. Mm-hmm. Because it is amazing. I want to say one just side thing, that it is amazing how many emergencies crop up an hour or two before the meeting. They just do. But aside from about maybe 15 or 20% of the resolutions that emerge from those emergencies, almost all the others have been posted on the internet as draft resolutions for months ahead of time. And they've been discussed in these meetings. So it is not that there's not advance notice that these things are going on in the same way that in the Congress, that there are hearings are in the Council, there's hearings on items way ahead of time. And I will not talk about the abuses when the ANC was fixated on a few items that a number of the civic groups would use, where they would use those specific things to come in and mob the meetings. And what this is supposed to do is to help us have an orderly process in which we can think about it, know about it, and many different groups can discuss it ahead of time.
But maybe we can, in these meetings here, like it's already been said, if these subjects come up, then the agenda can get generated from what you have here, and then we can put up what's possibly going to come up on the agenda. Now, we can do that. I say we can do that, but we cannot put up a permanent agenda for, you know, but everything has to come. If the community comes to this meeting and we can get it generated from this meeting to the next one, that's possible.
Mi punto de vista es este. ¿Por qué no se el asunto de las agendas debería tener un encabezamiento y cada persona que venga tal vez traiga un tema nuevo? Y se puede ir formando las agendas y discutiendo cada punto que haya.
¿A cuándo?
Puede ser la próxima reunión que haya. Se puede tomar este tema. So, ¿cómo planearlo? ¿Cómo planear las agendas? Por ejemplo, si es un tema, algo que he visto que hace pasar en la comunidad, yo le digo, mira, este es punto de agenda. Buscamos en la agenda, tal vez los otros señores traen otras cosas que ellos han investigado de la comunidad.
Okay. What he's suggesting is that perhaps strengthening what you were saying, that perhaps this means we can come and bring agenda items to the meeting. You know, this is an agenda item that we want to be in the next meeting, so we can start thinking about that stuff.
That was the purpose. That was one of the purposes of this meeting. Yeah.
That's
to follow up on that.
I'm sorry, have you been recognized by the chair, sir?
Just kidding.
Greg.
Follow up on that. I'd like to urge that the commissioners come in. That first of all, people read what are the accumulated list of items, some of which have been around for 4 months. that we are discussing. But typically, let me say that one of the big reasons why this commission does not take something up is they don't believe that it's fully formed, that it hasn't been researched, that enough people have been consulted, and so on. And they say, we're not going to vote on this until it's riper. To do that, we need help because we're volunteers. We don't have the hot and cold running staff and analysts to do these things. We're not unpaid and the like. So if we could come in and there's a chance for the commissioners to talk about the items that they're working on, or the people read up in advance, or we could print out some copies of what the current list is, then because the information is out there, and frankly, we need help to research it.
Did you finish tea and then Dave?
You know I'm not finished, but I will.
Yes, I can see we've morphed several topics here. We started talking about the large priorities that this neighborhood has, and therefore the commission should have. And then we ended up talking about the specific list of topics that we're going to talk about it on one particular meeting. And people call that an agenda. So let's keep those separate if we could, because we want to hear from you what the real problems are on the street, what the real hot issues are. And yes, I believe that we should post, and I do as well as I can on my posters I put up, the possible or probable important topics that we're going to hit in the meeting. That should be available. But let's hear what your concerns are. Beyond how we do our business.
I proceed around the room again.
Rosa?
Yes. I want to say Happy New Year to everyone.
Yay!
This is our first meeting from the ANC, and I want to know what is the word.
What?
The word for the ANC for 2010.
Yes.
What is the goal?
The goal.
What is the goal? What is the ANC goals for 2010?
The agenda is very necessary because the last hour I called to the member, to the Latino Association, and some member asked me about the agenda and what they're talking about, the ANC. I don't have any.
I just happen to have a little list.
Okay, wait.
We're still going around.
We're not. I don't want anybody to get the idea that we're just fixed on this one subject, because we're not. And so we got to be fair. I want to hear from everybody, whatever's on everybody's mind. Maybe something else we need to throw in the pot as well.
¿Qué
más
quieres?
Yes.
I want to hear.
Okay.
¿Qué más?
Chad. The ANC, the commission, does not set my goals. I am a commissioner. I have my goals set according to my election and my past work as a commissioner. The commission is not going to tell me what my goals should be. And I'm not going to tell the commissioners what their goals should be. So the commission does not have goals any more than city council has goals. The individual council members have their objectives. The individual commissioners have their goals. But the commission as a whole does not.
Not for one thing.
Yeah, you go to the individual commissioners and see what their goals are. That's what determines what the commission is.
I think
I got your email.
For the
Believe it or not, the battery on my left side hearing aid has just run out of juice, so I'm reduced to one ear, and I'm having a whole lot of trouble hearing. Perhaps, what's the question now?
I don't know what that
is. You, the ANC, they thinking for run for the next election for any seat in the city council? For the run for the city council?
Nobody here is considering running for council.
You think you know? Si usted piensa o no?
No,
no.
En su experiencia, ¿qué has tenido?
If drafted, I would run. If someone raised $1 million. Otherwise, no.
Well, I can speak for myself, and I don't know if I have a sense of the room, but I feel like a lot of people came tonight to find out what the priorities, what your priorities are.
For this year.
The councilor, what?
And
so commissioners, yeah. Mm-hmm. What your priorities are, what your goals are. I personally didn't come with any sort of gripe or a goal of my own. I was much more curious to find out what you've been working on, what you as individuals, perhaps, or as individual commissioners, would like to work on this year. And I am looking for a response, but we could go around first.
Yeah, we should continue going around and then people can speak.
Oh, this is my first time, so I'm just here to observe.
Are you keeping score?
We want to hear your impressions, though, so far. So don't hide out.
When you're ready, we pose no pressure. When you're ready.
Oh, and who's your commissioner?
Oh.
You said you were good.
I'm on Monroe and 16. Between Brown and 1639.
1639. You're on the north side, so your commissioner is Phil Lepanto.
Who is not here today.
If you were on the south side, you would be mine.
We used to live in the park and Brown, so that's why there was some.
You're very welcome. Please come often, especially you want an agenda.
Either these gentlemen have some input they want to
speak. Yeah, let's see. He's talking about, he says how can the ANC get involved into, and now that they have bought the building, and there is like a kind of an alley between his building and the next building, and then the back there is a big trash container, and people from different parts of the community go into that trash container and throw their garbage in there. How can that be?
On the community down, the house.
Yeah.
On the Irving.
People from the house in Irving.
So
the folks in Irving, all right?
They
come and they throw the garbage in that part of the alley. And,
I don't know what ANC is working on that part.
How can the ANC help? Who is your commissioner?
Nicky Frey.
No. Your commissioner.
it probably is. I have that problem, but I'll come back. Remind me to respond to that after everybody goes in.
Okay. Te voy a responder.
Me permite.
No, we're going around.
Oh,
we're
okay.
Over
here. He had a question, so.
Okay.
Must have thing.
Miyama.
I've been coming to meetings pretty regularly for about 2 months, and it's been really fascinating to see how the Latino Association has been so able to recruit its membership to come and members of their community to come and speak. And I've started to notice that they've been able to leverage some additional, maybe not power is the right word, but they definitely have a stronger voice than, you know, I was at a meeting earlier this summer, and I don't know if you were, you know, as involved in coming, but it's been phenomenal to see the participation that's been coming out of the Latino Association. So I'm sort of wondering how, if the commissioners had thought about engaging members of their own single member districts beyond the postings, because it seems like people may not know about the meetings if they don't see the postings unless they are involved in another volunteer or community organization. So, I mean, their participation is amazing, but it is, you know, slightly disproportionate to what you would maybe see if other members of different communities, you know, represented. There's not a lot of young people sometimes in meetings, there's not a lot of old people sometimes in meetings. You know, there's a lot of diversity in our neighborhood, but you don't really see that at the ANC meetings.
Chad?
As I say, I've been a commissioner for 7 years, and it's been very difficult to get Latinos to participate. And we are very grateful that Juan Carlos has provided the leadership and ID, has provided leadership to bring about the Latino participation. We are happy to see that. This is the only ANC I know of that provides simultaneous interpreting at all meetings. We purchased that equipment years ago. And we set it aside because there was no need for it, because nobody came, even though we had simultaneous interpreting available. So we had done our best in the past. It has not been sufficient. Now, due to organization by our Latino community, it is happening, and we are happy to see it. The same thing applies to other groups. Each subgroup that you mentioned needs leadership. Somebody's got to organize that group to come, and they will all be welcome whoever comes. Because it's been a problem. It's been a problem to get people to come to meetings. It's been a problem to get people to serve on the commission. We would like to have a commission that is truly representative of the group. But the salary is zero. It takes a lot of time. Not many people have the freedom and the energy to do it.
Yeah.
Where they pull people like you doing it.
I guess my question was more of, has the ANC ever considered doing something other than public notices that are postings? Have they ever thought about going door to door? I mean, that sounds sort of archaic, or sounds like you're, you know, it just seems like the neighborhood's very transient, especially with the population that's in their 20s. And a lot of them don't know about DC politics or that this structure even exists for them. So I don't know if we would do direct mailings. That might be, you know, a waste of money. But I just, I was just curious if you've tried anything in the past.
Can I interject for a second? I don't think it's archaic or a waste of money. I think it's absolutely essential to any neighborhood organization.
Let me say, I do a newsletter for my single member district. 720 copies to 720 households. And I deliver them by hand, myself, to everyone. It's a big job. And it's a big enough job that I'm not going to advise that any other commissioner attempt it. Because it takes a lot of time and it takes money. I've
now,
my own
now I know why you keep shape.
My neighborhood loves my newsletter.
They know.
Because they know what the ANC is doing, they know what's going on in the neighborhood, they know what things are coming up. I would be happy to see the rest of the commission do that, but it's a lot of work if you do it yourself. Somebody's got to, if you're going to do that sort of thing, if you're going to do it for the commission, then somebody has to write a newsletter for the commission. I'm not going to do that.
It's been done before.
That work. You wind up with something that is plain vanilla because it's got to represent all six commissioners.
Or worse, it represents a cabal that has control of it.
It's better to have each commissioner address his community, his or her community, as he or she sees fit.
Okay.
In my case, it means my newsletter, it means email, it means posting on the bulletin boards, and it means the posters that you're required to do. So I think I at least do a good deal of outreach.
Okay, we just went out of order because you guys got to respond to each other, and that was totally unfair because we just said that we were going to go around. I didn't break it up because I didn't want to be rude. But we can't allow one person to get answers to their responses and the other ones don't. I put that gentleman on hold, and I think this gentleman's on hold. I want to continue this around, please. Nobody else do that, please. Thank you. Go ahead.
That's what she's a chip.
She's tough. That's why they call me Stormy.
Well, I'm thinking of living in Mount Pleasant, living in the housing site, but Mount Pleasant Street is very much part of that neighborhood that makes my neighborhood where I meet people. And I'm just, it's so desolate to see all those empty stores, and I just don't know how together we can leverage, and it is our community, I know it's private property, but how to get those places turned into active commercial spaces that are being used. I mean, the restaurants, I'm just so impressed at the activity of Heidi and Don Juan and, you know, everybody else. This energy has been brought in. But still, it's a very difficult to overcome these empty spaces. It should not be there and it should not be allowed. I just don't know what information the commission, you know, can leverage for us so that we could, you know, we can work in different ways. Just very frustrating.
Hi, I'm Haley from Haley's Restaurant and also I'm a neighbor. I live in Hobart Street. I'm here today. I want to request to the ANC the problem they have with loading zone in front of Haley's. I consider we have the longest bus stop in the whole city because it's 125 feet. Most are 85. And we always get a ticket when we get it delivered. And I want to request if anybody has an idea, if we can apply for the loading zone from Hades, because I have some idea that he has the same problem. And also, I want to say something about the Olivia Say, which has to promote, we're more open to the new business owners to prevent more empty spaces in Mount Pleasant. But what happened is people are scared about those voluntary agreements to people wasting 1 year or 2 years in order to get a license. If we really need a new business, we have to start to promote something new for the new business owners. Thank you.
Okay. Hello, everyone. I'm Joyce. I don't live in Mount Pleasant, so anyway, I work for Haiti, so she's already said we're finishing it. But regarding Mount Pleasant, I think there's a lot that needs to be done for the coming year, especially most of the goals we had for last year, like trying to improve the business community, the corridor, especially people gave all the ideas about having the roadblocks now, they're still there. And most people, when they come here, they don't feel as comfortable because as soon as you get in, you get a ticket. And also we still want to be able to see whether we'll be able to get the signs, you know, directing people from the, at least from the train station, if we can be able to say which way do you go to Mount Pleasant, because there's most people who want to come and bring their money here, they know the train stop, but they don't know how to get here from the train station because there are no signs indicating this way to Mount Pleasant or that way to Mount Pleasant. I think we have had this discussion, the goal to try to make Mount Pleasant more known in the city, but still not as much. And I would also think if we'll be able to get any money, whether we can be able to do more promotion for the Mount Pleasant district, you know, the business, the businesses and the other aspect, people can come around here to do and to visit and to bring their money.
Dave Wasserman, Commissioner on along Irving Street from Hobart all the way to Lamont, and from Something Street all the way down to the park. And what my goals are is to slowly make Mount Pleasant a better place to live and a better place to come and shop.
Great. When I look around, when I talk to my neighbors, I've been working in the neighborhood for a long time. By the way, the way that I keep touch with my neighbors is that 34 years ago, I co-founded a neighbors association that tries to serve mostly apartment building and renters in the neighborhood, which is combined over 80% of the people of the neighborhood. The people in the 850 houses represent less than 20% of the people in the neighborhood. I have monthly meetings. I've worked to organize over half the population of Mount Pleasant at one time or another into building associations, and the leaders of that are the principal activists have a network, and some problems that come up are continually met on an ongoing basis. Three of the commissioners are de facto members of the group, and so that works. And two of the commissioners, by the way, are members of Here Mount Pleasant. The first thing that I noticed, the biggest thing in Mount Pleasant, is that many of my neighbors, if not most, they used to be most, died 20 years too soon after a decade or more morbidity of where they're tortured by illnesses. And this is a major public problem. There's a lot of research on it, and the solutions are at hand, but most but power activists in Mount Pleasant don't want to talk about it. So we don't, and the ANC seldom can do so because it gets gridlocked when it attempts to deal with really fundamentally touchy issues. The next thing I notice, and I hear it all the time from my neighbors through the channels I mentioned, what's being stopped on the street, is that we don't have good jobs and there's little economic development that actually will deliver jobs for the future to Mount Pleasant. And this gets down to another fundamental conflict of whether Mount Pleasant is going to be slowly made into a consumer area, or whether it will be a productive area where the values come because of entrepreneurs and jobs and people who are living and working here. And that's a fundamental choice, but because there are so many people that have power and money that are invested in it becoming a prime consumerist area, it cannot be touched, and the ANC has not been able to deal with it. The third issue is security. The ANC gave a small grant program, and out of that came oral histories and the surveys. In the surveys that were done, 40% of the people living in apartment buildings had been assaulted in the at least the sample that was done in the last 3 years, and almost none of them talked to the police when asked further why they did not. They say the police don't do anything, and secondly, it's a big hassle because they show that they disdain you, and it in fact is an unpleasant experience, so they just avoid it. Next, we have the Mount Pleasant could be the best little neighborhood in the world, because we could be the next Greenwich Village for the Washington region. Most world capitals have had them. We could do that. We have the diversity of population and so on to do that. But that is a threat to, and I didn't go through why security cannot be addressed because of the cultural gaps here, but there's a similar analysis. A similar analysis is versus consumer versus productive society of why we cannot have a real creative neighborhood, even though we have a lot of the Washington area's substantial artists and creative people from all over the world here. So we could be the best, but because of the way the ANC has worked in the past, where it has chosen to gridlock rather than to pay attention to our opportunities, and because we have not been able to reach out substantially and find people that will work with ANC commissioners, we've not done enough. In the next few months, there are watershed decisions that are going on. One, we have the small area plan, which will put in legislation the future of the neighborhood. Next, we have a transportation plan that may be coming through, and to affect the rearrangement of how we live and work here. Next, we have the library, deciding whether or not it's going to be a support for learning or a cathedral to books. And plus blocking things for a lot of people.
Greg, you got one more point.
Okay. I'll return then to summarize. We could be great. We have the resources. We have the opportunities. This ANC, after working for 3 or 4 terms, has been focused on getting us to the point where the city pays attention, and we could be making these decisions that would push us so that we would be distinctive. We would have good jobs and all these other things, or we could just go to being a standard consumerist upscale neighborhood. And I would like to see in the next year that these opportunities that have been laboriously set up and argued and researched, that we seize this opportunity to make Mount Pleasant great and to serve people, or rather than allowing them to drift or be pushed out.
Thank you, Commissioner. Okay, I don't know if I remember everything I was going to say, but anyway, my personal goal is what it has always been. I remain open. I take telephone calls. I answer emails. So I work on whatever my constituents bring to me. Fortunately or unfortunately, a lot of my constituents actually live in the building where I live, so I get most of their stuff on a regular basis. But such is the thing about the people bringing the trash and dumping it. That's sort of something that I've been dealing with for a while, because we have a house, and I got to try to see where that is now, because I sent the information downtown. In fact, we had 2 houses where they literally dump their trash over on the property where I live. So then we have some other people who walk down the alley and decide that our dumpster is the biggest one so they can use it. So it's a problem for a couple of us, but I would like you to give me your name and number. We can exchange that so I can include you in that effort that I'm trying to get something done about that. I'm a very flexible person in the way my thought pattern is, because something could be real important to somebody, and the next person, it doesn't seem to be important at all. But all things that come to me, I consider them to be important. If it's something that someone wants to do, and I think it's a positive thing, then I'm going to support it. Or if I don't agree with it, I'm going to let you know I don't agree, and I'm not going to, you know, just drag it on or disregard anything that ever comes to me or whatever. I'm a very no-nonsense person, and I try to be organized. And when I was getting my training early in life, I always feel that everything has to have structure. And that's one of the reasons why I commend and I respect the Latino community and all of its leaders. And the reason why they come together is because they, no matter if they have differences, they all realize that they can get more done if they come together. Other cultures seem to want to separate themselves and, oh, well, she didn't go to college as long as I did, so I want to deal with these people over here that went to college. And that's the problem. But for certain communities, they realize that there's a common goal that they want to fight for, so they'll come together. And since living here in Mount Pleasant, and I've lived in this area since I was a baby. I moved away for a while. We're not talking about how many years ago that was. It's not relevant. But however, it just didn't change that much. It's always been an issue here. There's always been certain groups that fight for certain things. And there's always somebody that doesn't want one person to have this. And, you know, but in a whole, I think we've progressed a lot since I came on this commission. For example, my constituents at the building, they wanted somewhere to sit down, and thanks to Commissioner Edwards and McKay, the commission board, the city was not stepping up, so the commission stepped up and provided them a seat where they could sit down. And so some of you may not know, my building it consists of seniors and disabled individuals who sometimes get a negative look from the community, but I have to say that pretty much here in Mount Pleasant, everybody is pretty much given a break, you know, because we're such a big melting pot, you have to do that. But I'm just saying that for a lot of the community, it may look like this commission hasn't done anything, but we've done a lot, and it may be baby steps, but you know, you got to do baby steps in order to walk. So I'm happy to be here and working, and I guess I'll stick it out another term, I guess. However, like I say, and usually at the meetings, Commissioner McKay has the areas up, so if you don't know, if you look up there, you see where you live, then you know which one of us, but if it's a doubt, just speak to any of us. Usually Commissioner McKay, Bosterman, and Edwards know where you belong. Sometimes I only know that I got half of Irving, and Commissioner Bosterman got the other half, and then Commissioner Edwards and I share the rest of it. But just as long as you come to us, because we can't fight for your opinions and your thoughts if you don't come to us. Okay. So you needed to get your question addressed, and somebody else, do you remember?
Yes, she had the question.
Okay, I thought you had answered hers, but you had something you wanted to say on hers. Okay.
And I think you've addressed my question, which was what was your priorities personally? I feel that's been addressed.
Was it addressed sufficiently?
I believe it was
okay, because I want you to come back.
Absolutely, and I'm curious about the outreach.
Okay.
Which was what she was asking about.
Why don't we try just another round?
You know what? Okay, but did everybody remember we're supposed to respond and then go back? Did everybody get their responses sufficiently?
Okay. One more round. All right. So, you're going to wait.
Okay.
So, what I would like to suggest to the commission is that businesses in Mount Pleasant are struggling at all levels. And as you said, they are storefronts. They are empty. And we cannot allow that to happen. Jobs is a need in our community. So I would like to see if the commission will explore the idea of requesting all the groups working here EDDC, the Business Association, Hillman Plaza, whatever groups are here working, to come back to the next meeting and tell us what the heck are they doing to ensure that the we improve the business. What is the plan for this year? Were they applying grants? What type of support do they need? And I will even encourage to us go adventurous and ask and invite Councilman Graham to come to the meeting here and to tell us what he's going to do to address the issue about businesses here and in Mount Pleasant. So those empty places are not continuing there. Is he going to fight for more money in City Hall? What is his plan to strengthen this? And also the non-profit groups that I just read a couple proposals that they just given money to those groups. And I also read the report that they had, and they report that they did some great work here in Mount Pleasant. And I said, I didn't see you there last year. You know, so I want to keep track of that. So I think we can do one meeting a month, so one issue a month perhaps. The next meeting I'm suggesting to be all about storefronts and businesses, and they can come and tell us. If they don't show up, it's fine. But we invited them to come, and I think that will be very powerful.
Small point on it, we ought to invite Kwame Brown, because he's the chair of the Economic Development Committee,
everybody.
In charge of most of the grants that are being made.
Yeah, everybody that needs to do something with improving the business and ensuring that the storefronts are being empty, we should invite him here to the next meeting to tell us what the hell is the plan about. The second component is, I will ask to perhaps in the next meeting and announce to the community that there's going to be elections of the offices of the ANC, and the people that are going to be want to be an officer to tell us, you know, not just to them, everyone in the ANC, to tell us what is this goal, their goals for us for this year, like you guys did. You know, I think it would be great for the community to know. This is what our vision for, my vision for next year, for this year is. This is what I want to accomplish. This is what I am going to push for. And concrete this possible concrete steps. So we know what the ANC, individual ANC members are going to be doing, all right? I'm sure you did that in your campaign and stuff, but it's great to have that in the community level and other stuff.
Okay.
I did want to comment on a couple of you talked about, which is the storefronts and getting businesses in there and, making the neighborhood great. And we haven't talked about, so I'll be the first in the year to bring it up, and I'm sure it's been gone over many times, but that skeleton across the street has to go.
Yeah.
And something has to be done. I mean, I've been here a year, and I lived in Adams Morgan before, so I remember the fire. I am not an advocate in general of eminent domain, but this is exactly what that kind of a rule is made for. And the city has the power to do that. And that means to take that property away and put it to productive use. So I feel like that's a much bigger issue than we can deal with tonight. And probably people want to leave at some point. But that is something that gets me kind of
angry. Actually, can I just a quick update on that? So, as you can tell right now, the Latino Association, working with other groups in the area, and also some of the commissioners, we have ensured that, I don't know, you see they are doing some work in there, mm-hmm. What we're trying to ensure is that at least the pathway, the sidewalk, can be cleared out there so people can walk to the sidewalk, and we can include more parking spaces in there. And there is a process into which we are pushing, and the city is pushing, for the developer, the owner of the property, to sell the property to the owners. It's in the process of buying and selling, and right now they're looking for the money. So there is a step for that. But there's a good issue that the husband's been doing some work around that. With respect to the traffic side, to the parking space and to the metro bus stop, we have work with the mayor's office a month ago, and they have been doing all the analysis and start with the measurements, and definitely that bus stop is way too long. And so they're going to be changing the signs any minute now. I got an email today, actually today I got it, that saying that they're repairing, making new signs, and so they're going to come back to allocate those signs. But that spot where you are is a big issue, so perhaps we should talk a little bit more with Tim from the mayor's office, and I give you his number, and his name, so we can follow up with that. But the intention is that how we can create more available spaces in the community, so we can have carry out parking and loading parking and loading zones and handicap zones, and some of the businesses can have a quick area of 15 minutes parking so people can park, pick up the pupusas and go on, right? So those things we've been working with the mayor's office and did that. So I will definitely give you Tim's number, so you might have it.
Okay.
But this is critical issues.
May I try? Okay. One, the magic number is $45 an hour. Excuse me, $45 a square foot a month. And that is, that's what the local property owners are getting now. And that's a jump from $35 a month in the last round 3 to 5 years ago. And I've gone and interviewed a number of the owners that left.
Turn out apartments or commercial space?
Excuse me, storefronts. I didn't get that as a key point. And that's the fundamental driving force of that. I've gone, with the help of the ANC, I've gone to ULI research seminars on similar problems in other urban centers. And it's a big problem. If you want, you can call me and we'll discuss the details. But roughly, unless we can raise other sources of money, we cannot then change the market and have a rebalance of it. I've got three ideas on how to raise that money, and I hope that the ANC will pick those up. It has not. For two, the Deauville. You say the city ought to be able to do something about it. The city, I ran past the chief inspector a quick review of the fines they could be getting, which is over $100,000 a day. If they put those fines in, they would quickly recoup all of the money necessary to buy the thing out from the current owner. The reason why Nick Majek, DCRA, who oversees the fine, says they cannot do so, is that they're afraid that the Office of Administrative Appeals will not come through and allow them to implement the fines unless there is legislation. I've talked to Jim Graham about the legislation that is necessary, and that is something that I think if the ANC put in as a resolution, it is right to go, because many people in the city can do it, and it would be a fast solution to that issue. On parking, Dr. McKay and I have been working on that for a long time, and it looks like we have, first of all, and I'm glad to see that the Latino Association is also working with us. If we can get the bus to just once, rather than within 2 or 3 minutes go back and forth on Mount Pleasant Street, we would free up over 40, about, my estimate is 40 parking spaces. Jack McKay and I have been working on a plan to have day passes, which could raise enough money so that we could have a shuttle system. I agree to call it a shuttle because his constituents don't want to hear it. A shuttle system. And we've worked it all out with the Tax Cap Commission and with a number of council member offices, and including the deputy director of the Department of Transportation. We're close to getting these things done. And so these are issues where, if you hear, it takes 5 or 6 years of work to throw things to the point where the ANC can pass resolutions that will effectively deal with these matters.
And para que esto pase una resolución de ANC. Okay.
It's tough.
Okay. Son dos preguntas. Yo tengo dos. Quisiera saber si hay.
Tengo dos preguntas que quisiera. I have two questions that I would like to know.
Si hay un control de renta de los locales, porque en verdad son muy exagerados lo que piden por los locales. Por ejemplo, el
I would like to know if there is a rental control for the business places, for the storefronts, because they are asking a lot of money.
For example, por el que esté frente al 7-Eleven quieren 13,000 mensuales.
Because the one that is next to 7-Eleven, the one that's empty over there in Canyon and Mount Pleasant, they want $13,000 a month.
Por el otro quieren 12,000. Los amigos míos que querían abrir un negocio, un restaurante.
They have some friends that want to open a restaurant. Yes, we call and that's what they are asking. $13,000.
Si el ANC tiene control de renta.
The ANC can do something about the rental control with this.
De la otra. Pregunta es emergencia.
Es una emergencia.
Porque están asaltando a la gente ahí en la Parrot y la Mampleta. Nada menos el 31 de diciembre golpearon a una muchacha que la han casi muerta.
They are robbing and assaulting folks in Mount Pleasant and Parrot. On December 31st, they beat the crap out of a woman. They left her almost dead.
La última vez que estuvo los señores de la policía dijeron que iba a haber alguien allí. Pero allí no hay nadie cuidando el parque.
The last time we met with the police, they told us they were going to be somebody looking in the park, but nobody's watching in the park.
Tienen que.
So then we have to ask.
Que Leslie tiene que puchar eso con la policía o alguien que esté investigando a esa gente que están asaltando, porque ya va varias gente que casi las matan en la 16, en el parquecito ese y aquí en la Parrot y la Manfleta.
There is a lot of people being robbed and assaulted in 16 Park Road and 16 Park Road and Mount Pleasant.
Yo pienso que hay que poner atención a eso también.
You have to put attention to that.
May I respond?
Okay.
No. Yes.
The $13,000 is because the $45 a foot, which is the going rate, and it's a huge jump from before in the middle of the recession. As I said, I've got schemes to deal with that, but the ANC needs to get involved now and put some money behind it, as well as just resolutions. Because there is no rent control on
the property.
On the issue of the large number of our neighbors, not just Latinos, but people in the apartment buildings, being assaulted and beaten up. As I said, almost in our sample, 40% of the people have been assaulted in the last 3 years. With years of rabble-rousing, the assistant chief, Diane Grooms, convened a meeting of all the people in the chain of command and ordered them to work with me and the ANC to do something about this. They did not. They delegated to the lieutenant who refused to do anything. And now with the help, because of, I think, the triggering event was the Latino Association intervening. Now we've gotten rid of that blockage, and I hope we will be able to move forward. We need to get the statistics and to hold the police accountable using our statistics on what happens to people rather than their statistics of people of what is called them. Without that, we can see for the last 30 years, no attention comes in.
Lo que tenemos que hacer es también educar a la gente para que llame a la policía para hacer las cosas. Sin eso no se puede hacer.
Para contestar lo que le está diciendo.
To answer what he's saying, just as a response to what he's saying.
Los policías que se han sacado trabajan en el día.
No, hay otros policías que se han removido.
Sí, pero si ellos trabajan en el día.
No,
y
otros que se han removido.
Sí, ok, pero la pregunta es que sí, porque el muchacho este llamaron a la policía cuando lo cortaron y nunca ha habido la policía.
there was an individual that was assaulted and Park Road, they called the police and the police never came.
That's the problem.
So that's one of the problems that we found with police response.
The same happens to me.
Well, that's not a response, Greg, but so we will organize a meeting with the commander and I to address that issue.
Okay, is there anybody else on any other subjects that...
Seen an increase of gang activities in the area. Even in his building, gang members are infiltrating to this building. And New Year's Day, not New Year's, some gang members went and broke the windows in the apartments, and they called the police, and the police didn't show up, and a police lady came out and said, hey, don't worry about it, just call your insurance company and everything will be fine. So, vamos a mencionar el mapa con el comandante inmediatamente de nosotros. But I'm saying that we're going to have a quick meeting with the commander in the next couple of days.
Jack.
We have, as you know, a new lieutenant for this neighborhood, Micah Pate. And the time and location of the PSA meeting has not yet been set. But when he has his meeting, he should certainly come and bring these reports to him.
A suggestion. I've been to another ANC meeting, and usually if there is a lot of community issues that any governmental administration can be able to address, or is required to address, like the police, if they're not coming, I would think we have almost the right to invite the police, whoever is in charge of the area we live in, and invite whoever is their boss to come to attend our meeting and to listen to our concerns and to see how we can follow up on such issues if security is becoming a major concern for the community. And still, I mean, it's surprising that we have the issue of security, and yet most of the time we see police sometimes with the cars parked around, and you make a phone call and nobody turns, and they'll be there on their computers. I think something should be done. We should invite the police to attend the meeting. That way we can have a more closer contact where we can address actually what is happening. Rather than when somebody makes a phone call and it's an emergency, nobody turns up.
Michael Pate was a lieutenant in another part of 3D. I mean,
Greg, can you sit up?
What?
I said sit up, and I think we'll be a little bit better to hear
you. Okay, thank you. I have a bad back. It hurts. Sorry. Michael Pate, I called around to ask how to work with him. And the way that he's been a lieutenant in several PSAs. His most recent and most successful model was to work with the local ANC. We had a good PSA going, good attendance, when there was a joint operation of the PSA and the ANC. And that was broken when Danny Yule came. And then things fell apart, and so that only two or three residents would show up to the meetings, mostly for the last 4 years. We have an opportunity
to reestablish a very successful pattern for us, a pattern that Michael Pate is used to. And so I think we need to explore that as a commission, in conjunction with the Latino Association and other groups here, in order to make the thing work.
Can I ask?
What's that?
We moved the PSA meetings from the library to here, and I thought that was very successful. And then suddenly, Lieutenant Fiennes was going to move the PSA meeting back to the library. Is the sense of the group that the PSA meeting should be here to be centrally located in the district? Is that correct?
Yes.
Yo creo que. Okay.
No?
Yes. I think. Can I respond that?
Did you get a permission from the chair?
Yes. She pays me.
Where's the gavel? Where's the gavel?
You know, when I need it, I don't have it.
Yes, you can pinch me, Greg.
I just came
up. That's fair play. Please, please.
So look. One of the reasons why the Latino community did not get involved with this lieutenant is because A, it was not a translation of his program. B, he chose the time of the meetings, and we asked him to perhaps move it or consider moving it because it's contradicting. It was like a five days a week meeting for the Latino groups. So I think it needs to be not only a time that works for the lieutenant, but also a time that works for the community when they do the meetings, all right? To do a meeting a day after we have a meeting scheduled, and then the next day is the meeting with the planning, official planning, and the next day is a meeting with somebody who wants to do a mural, the next day is the highest birthday, so we cannot do it. So that was one of the problems. So my suggestion is that we sit down and develop a calendar that we can promote, that we can also educate our communities, and when those are, what can we get that in.
The last meetings we had with Lieutenant Fiennes were on the fourth Tuesday, because we have our meetings on the first and third Tuesdays, so he chose the fourth Tuesday. See, that's a good day of the month.
Can I give you a ring tomorrow?
Yeah, please, because I know Lieutenant Page is simply asking the question right now, when and where.
So this is a good place to do the meeting. This is a good place to do the meetings. I just want to make sure that the time, and perhaps for us it's not a weeknight, for us it could be a weekend.
Saturday,
3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. We can merge with something else. One of the things that I don't want to be doing is meeting for the police, meeting for housing, meeting for the shoes, meeting for. We got to try to combine some of those efforts, especially with single parents and stuff like that. So I just, if the lieutenant's open, we should try to be creative how we can do those meetings.
This is the time to do that because everything is moving.
All right.
Would you be willing to do it on noon or in the afternoon, Saturday afternoon, say the fourth Saturday? We have a lot of people here. If we could find something convenient, this is a good time to do it.
It's okay with me, but then I have a strange schedule.
For us, for the Latino Association, los sábados en la tarde está bueno una reunión con la policía, ¿verdad? Una vez al mes, un sábado a las 3 de la tarde, la gente está parada allá, entre un barcata a todos lados. That's what sounds right. Or Sunday in the afternoon. Sunday at 4 o'clock after Super Bowl.
Playoffs
coming. Did he make Akio's in, brother? What's up?
I don't think anybody want to come after the Super Bowl.
All right. Well, let me make another suggestion. The second Saturday, because the last
Saturdays, frequently get involved in holidays like Thanksgiving and other things, so you essentially would skip. So the second Saturday is something that you're free of 4th of July and all kinds of things.
First Saturday.
Well, for me, it's better on the weekdays. I can come Tuesday. Well, we can do the same day, the ANC meeting before. We can, before last, there's a lot of people here in the ANC meeting who can ask for to the lieutenant what do we need.
And what happens, Heidi, with us is that there is a bunch of meetings coming up, all right? The meetings for the festival, the meetings for the house, the meetings for that place, the meetings for the park, the meetings for that. So those meetings usually are on the weekdays.
But the meeting for with the police is more important for me because I see a lot of crime after 10 o'clock.
I'm with you.
Okay.
I'm usually the ones watching the screen.
Yeah, I called the police many times to defend some people who pass by and they've been assaulted. Like it, 1, 2, or 3 o'clock in the morning.
But if you also...
What did you say?
I just was talking about delegation, so one person doesn't have to go to all the meetings.
He needs a commission of 6 people.
Well, I do know this is...
Well, as far as the working community, you might come out there a bit the Saturday afternoons.
You can't do it Saturday
afternoons. Well, but you be here, I think you can talk on behalf of me. I can send emails to you, what is the problem?
Okay.
Yes. Can I get those emails?
Okay. Taylor.
Oh, you will get one every other day.
No. The second Saturday at noon fits my schedule best, but I'm just one person.
Are you setting up for one particular meeting, or are you setting up for the ongoing meeting?
The second Saturday of every month. When did you use Saturdays too? When is yours?
But I'm just one person. It doesn't matter, actually.
I will send an email with the date that we will coordinate.
Anybody else have any other topics, any other subjects that you want to bring out?
Questions?
Everybody that came for the first time, I hope you're coming back.
The request that we have for like the one I have, what?
Which one?
The one that to bring all the folks involved around businesses and stuff to tell us what the plan is to help us improve Mount Pleasant next year. Is anybody taking a lead? Should I need to call?
Story asked me if she or I should call and try to get Graham and Brown to the next meeting.
All right.
But for us to do that, we could do that as a separate meeting. The commercial quarter could hold that separately. If we're going to have it during the first Tuesday of February, we will need to ask the permission of the commission, because that is the current schedule, which I think is working well and probably will continue.
I think we would welcome that kind of meeting. Yes.
Yeah, I think that would be a good community meeting.
Well, we have
with those commissioners here, LADC, Caressen, the different groups that has money to get funding to do work in here, they got to come and tell us what the heck are they doing.
It's a good idea. Mm-hmm.
All right.
So it's 4 of us here, so we got the majority.
Right.
So we could, you could just say the meeting comes to order, we agree to it, the meeting is adjourned.
No, I'd love just, we understand the sentiments, we will ratify this at the January meeting. We don't need to do anything formal now.
Excuse me. Okay.
We could.
This is an informal meeting.
Sure.
We're going to keep it informal.
Yay. Sorry.
Okay. All right. Was there anything else anybody needed to bring to the floor?
Any money?
Questions?
You don't have my check? Questions? Any further questions?
I am prepared to talk for at least 20 minutes on the
issues.